I'm sorry, before we begin, I'd like to dedicate today's shiur to two individuals, one who has yahrzeit, one whose yahrzeit is the Shabbos, another one whose yahrzeit is this week, Moshe ben Shlomo, as well as Binyamin ben Moshe, a father and a son. They should have a tremendous aliyah in Gan Eden from our Divrei Torah that we share today. So let's begin with the following. We all know that we just celebrated a Chag HaShavuos, and Chag HaShavuos is a very important time in the calendaric year, because it's the opportunity for us to remind ourselves of our pledge, of our allegiance to the Ribono Shel Olam and to His Torah. So let's talk a little bit about what it means to learn Torah and what that experience is supposed to be for all of us. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, if you look at number Aleph, Kol Ish Mi Yisrael, every Jewish person, Chayev B'Talmud Torah, every Jewish person is obligated to learn Torah. Bein shalem begufo, whether you are someone who is healthy, bein bal yisurim, whether you are someone who has some sort of physical or emotional ailment, bein bachar, whether you are single, bein shahayazakin, whether you're young, whether you're old, or gadol shatashish kocho, sometimes you have an individual who's an older person and it's harder for them to do certain things, still says the Rambam, no excuses not to learn Torah. Talmud Torah is something that a person must always give time for. It's a primary responsibility. Afilu haya ani hamisparnes min hatzdaka, says the Rambam. Even if you might happen to be, unfortunately, someone who is an ani, who is so poor, who is so destitute, and you are being misparnes min hatzdaka, you are being supported by the local charity, umachazer al hapsachem, and you're knocking from door to door that people should help you out. Afilu bal isho banim, even if you happen to have a wife or children or a family and you're busy with all of that, Chayev l'kvilo lo's man l'talmud Torah b'yomu v'alayla, says the Rambam, every person makes sure that they have to learn Torah every day. Shenemar v'higisabo yomu v'alayla. And here you see that the Rambam frames for us that the primary focus, the primary responsibility of every Jewish person is to make sure that they carve out time for Talmud Torah every day. And you'll say, it's very difficult. How do we do such a thing? Every day I'm obligated to do this engagement with Talmud Torah. So the Mesilas Yesharim, the Ramchal, who was one of the great Balei Machshava, one of the great theologians, so he writes in the 1700s, a very important work called the Mesilas Yesharim. So he writes there in Perek Tes, Amnam, and this is on number Beis, Sarach Sheyeda HaAdam, an individual, a person has to know, Ki lo lemenucha hu ba'olam hazeh. Yes, you're right. It might be difficult to run around and to have to cook for Shavuos and to have to eat the meals and to stay up all night and to go to Shiurim and to do whatever we're doing and to take out of our schedules. And you look at what goes on here in our shul, just take for example how many people are showing up and how many people are carving out time to do what it is that they should do. Now again, I think the percentages are off. If we have a shul this size, we should have many, many more hundreds of people showing up. But for those who do come, it is hard and it is difficult, and we do sacrifice a lot to come and to be involved and to be engaged as we do. Says the Ramchal, Tzarech sheyeda ha'adam, a person has to know, ki lo lemenucha hu ba'olam hazeh. We haven't been brought into this world simply to lounge around. That's not what life is all about. Ela la'amal v'toreach. God put us into this world to work hard and to exert energy and effort to be a part of everything He wants us to do. V'lo yinhag ba'atzmo, ela minhag ha'poalim ha'osim malacha etzel maskireyem. A person's attitude in this world, every moment of life, should be that we are as if we are employed by some great employer who expects us to do a particular job. And if we don't do that job, the employer is going to be rather disappointed. And therefore, says the Mesilas Yesharim, if you have that kind of attitude, the same way anyone who has any other employment, any other job, any other profession would make sure to be there on time, would make sure to show up, would make sure to follow all the laws of whatever that profession might be, so too, says the Mesilas Yesharim, that has to be the perspective and the attitude that God is the one who is the employer. He's the one who gives life. He's the one who allows us to be here and who blesses us with the lives that we have. And therefore, he writes, we have to make sure that we act the same way an employer would act, an employee would act when they are at work. Omer, agri di yom ananan. The Gemara in Erevin says that we are like day workers. We are paid workers to do the Ribono Shel Olam's work. He says we should also feel as if we are foot soldiers, as if we are in an army, ready to go out at any moment. Asher achilasam b'chipazon, that they have to eat quickly. They don't have time to sit around and just waste time. We're about to go out to war. You want to grab a quick bite somewhere, you want to eat something, you want to sustain yourself, you want to get a quick nap, that's fine. But you cannot just sit around and expect that you have all day, you have leisure time to just do it at your own at your own pleasure, says the Mesilas Yesharim. That's what it means when we are put into this world as well. It's kederach yotzei hatzavad b'maruch Hoseim. It's like a group of army of soldiers who are about to go out into battle. Asher achilasam b'chipazon, that everything they eat is quick. V'shinasam arayin, they just catch a quick nap here and there. V'omdin tamid muchanim le'es krav, and they're always standing there ready for the next engagement, for the next battle. So too says the Mesilas Yesharim. That's what life in this world means as well. Va'alzeh nemar, and on this we are told, ki adam la'amo yulad, a person was created, the Pasuk says in Eov, a person was created to work hard. That's what life is all about, working hard. U'kishe yargil atzma alzeh haderach, when a person gets used to thinking in this kind of perspective, in this kind of attitude, yimtza, you will find ha'avoda kala alav vada, you will find that the job becomes easier. If you look at yourself as a messenger, if you treat yourself like a soldier, if you know that I am mission-driven, that I have something that I need to do, so then everything becomes a little bit easier. I remember I spoke to my father after my first year in the White Shul, and I for one, am a person who needs to prepare a lot for every talk that I give. None of this comes naturally to me, and it's something I work very diligently to prepare properly and to give the respect for those who show up. So I remember that I spoke to my father and I was so overwhelmed because I told him I spend every minute of my day preparing and I just never have a chance to do anything else, and it's just it's starting to get very difficult. And I said to him, you know, I give like a 15-minute shiur to Mincha Marv. I said, like, I prepare the whole morning for that. I give a 15-minute class here every day before Mincha. I spend my whole morning preparing for that thing. Sometimes it's harder to do that than the hour shiur. And I said to my father, you know, it's becoming a little too much. And he said to me, isn't that what your duty is? Isn't that what you've been asked to do? If you decided this is the line of work that you want to be involved in your life, it's going to take very difficult work, and that's what it is. And there's nothing to be ashamed of, and there's nothing to be embarrassed of. And yes, you should spend your whole day preparing, and you should be involved as much as you are, and there's nothing to feel bad about, and it won't get easier, he said to me. It will only continue to get harder because your responsibilities will become more and more. You'll have less and less time and more pressure, and you'll figure out how to do it because you'll have great siyata d'shmaya. And Baruch Hashem, we've been blessed with that. But that's what the Pasuk says in Eov. Adam la'amo yulad, we have an obligation. This is what we're here for. We're here to give every measure of our being for the Ribono Shel Olam, to give back to Him and to work hard. And our perspective always has to be that we are God's soldiers and we are here to do His mission and to perpetuate that which He expects us to do. So let's look at a Mishnah number Dalet, where the Mishnah tells us as follows. Whenever a person learns Torah, says the Gemara, I'm sorry, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Reb Chalafta Ish Kvar Hananya Omer, Asara sheyoshvim ve'oskim atar, when you have 10 individuals that come together and learn Torah, which we are so blessed to have so often here, more than 10 people, says the Gemara, Shechina shriya b'neim, you have the presence of the Shechina is there when 10 people come and learn together. Now I ask you, how many people who show up in this room believe that the Shechina is actually here? So again, maybe my shir is not deserving of the Shechina, but when you go to Rabbi Billet's shir, when you go to someone real who gives a shir, and they're sharing real Divrei Torah, says the Mishnah, you have 10 people there together, present in the room, studying Torah together, Shechina Shriya B'neim. Do we understand what that means? The Shechina is actually present. It gives a different perspective. It gives a different feeling once you understand that, that the Shechina is actually present. Now listen to this. Shenemar, as we know, the Pasuk says, Elokim nitzav ba'adaskel, that God is present when you have an Eda, when you have a group of people who are together, God is present. Uminayin, asked the Mishnah, Afilu Chamisha, how do you know that even 5 people who are together learning Torah and studying some piece of Torah, how do you know that the Shechina is present for them as well? Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Va'agudasa al Eretz Yisada. Uminayin, Afilu Shlosha, how do you know even when you have 3 people together that the Shechina makes time and makes effort to be there as well? Shenemar bekerev Elokim yishpot. Uminayin afilu shnayim. How do you know even when you have 2 people sitting and learning something together that the Shechina is there as well? Shenemar, because the Pasuk teaches us in Malachi, Az nidbru yirei Hashem isha reyehu. There were 2 yirei shamayim. There were 2 people, God-fearing Jews, who were speaking to one another. Vayakshev Hashem vayishma, and God listened, and He was participating with them. And you see that when 2 people study Torah together, that's a reason for the Shechina to come as well. And finally says the Mishnah, Uminayin afilu echad. How do you know that even 1 person who sits and studies Torah, how do you know that even 1 person who sits and reads a Tehillim at night when you have nothing else to do and all the TV shows have gotten boring, you have nothing better to do with your time other than you pull out the Tehillim because lack of a better option, how do you know that even that is considered to be something that the Shechina makes time to pay attention to, Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, and listen carefully because we're going to pick up on this Pasuk, B'chal makom asher azkir es shemi, anywhere that my name is mentioned, Avo elecha uverachticha, I will come, I will participate, and I will give you a blessing. Anytime that my name is mentioned, and from here the Mishnah says, that even if a person is just studying Torah on their own, even if a person is just being Mabris Sedra, looking over the Parsha, even if a person is just looking at a Tehillim or reading something late at night, that too, says the Mishnah, is something that is deserving of the Shechina's presence to be there as well. Now, the Binyan Sion was one of the great Gedolim in the late 1700s, early 1800s, passed away in 1871, so I guess he was more in the 1800s than in the 1700s. So he was one of the great Gedolim, Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, and he has in one of his Svarim a very obvious question. If the Mishnah tells us that when 10 people are studying Torah, the Shechina is there, why do we need to know that if we know that the Shechina is already present when one person is studying Torah? What does the Mishnah mean to teach us? And he explains very poetically and very beautifully that when we talk about the Shechina, there are varying degrees of intensity in which the Shechina can be present. And what the Mishnah means to teach us is, yes, when one person is studying Torah on their own, the Shechina will be there. Obviously, that presence will intensify. It will be much greater when you have a larger group of people studying Torah together as well. And this is the idea, as we know, Barovam Hadras Melech. The same thing when a person has the opportunity to either daven in a big shul with the presence of a lot of people together, or you're going to daven just privately on your own. Obviously, there's a greater presence of Shechina when you have more people performing a mitzvah together in unison. That is something that is a more profound experience. And this, with this, he explains as well, what does it mean when we daven every day? V'sechazena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion b'racham, and we hope that God will restore His presence, His Shechina, to the Makam HaMikdash once again. Don't we know the Rambam paskins that kidsha liyased lavo, the Makam of the Beis HaMikdash? There's so much controversy today about whether you're allowed to go on Har HaBayis, you're not allowed to go on the Har HaBayis. What's the controversy? There's no Beis HaMikdash. The answer is the controversy stems from the fact that the Rambam teaches us that even after the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed, even if it is no longer there in its completion, still we assume that the place of the Makam HaMikdash retains its status of Kedusha, because the Shechina ain't a betela, says the Rambam. The Shechina's presence has never gone away. So what do we mean when we say every day in our davening, V'sechazena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion b'rachamim, we hope that you will return, will restore your Shechina to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash? It is there. So what are we davening for? Suggest the Aruch HaNer, the Binyan Sion. The reason why is because there are varying degrees of Shechina. We obviously do not feel the sense of Shechina that we should feel when we have a Beis HaMikdash in its completion, in its built state. And therefore what we ask the Ribono Shel Olam for is, yes, we know that some of your Shechina has been retained, that some of it is still there, that the Har HaBayis is still sanctified, that the Kotel is still elevated, but still, we ask the Ribono Shel Olam, that is not enough for us. We want more. We want that we should have a Sechazena Einenu B'Shuvcha L'Tzion B'Rachamim in its complete form. And we don't want to have anything short of just that. So this is a comment on what this Mishnah means, that in the varying degrees of amounts of people that you have learning Torah, so too will be the varying degrees of presence of Shechina that will be there. But if you'll notice, the last pasuk that the Mishnah mentions, when it says, Uminayin afilu echa, the last line, how do you know even one person who studies Torah on their own is also deserving, is also worthy of having the Shechina visit them at that time as well? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Bechal ha-makom, in any place, asher, anyone who knows Hebrew, please translate this for me, asher azkir. What does that mean, azkir? That, who will mention? That I will mention. So what does it mean? The pasuk is trying to teach us that if you will learn Torah, even on your own, without the presence of other people, God will be there. How do you know? Because the pasuk says, anywhere where I will mention my name, God says. So we interpret it to mean any place where I will be mentioned. You're correct. That's the understanding of the Mishnah, but it's not the right formulation. It should say, Bechal ha-makom asher tazkiru, anywhere where you will mention my name, then I will make sure to go out of my way and participate as well. This is a comment that is picked up by the Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, as well as the Noam Elimelech. So it's Hasidim and Misnagdim all have the same insight, which means it's true. So let's look at number Gimel. And it's a very powerful one. Number Gimel is the Nefesh HaChaim, which is the very incredible work of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. He was the star disciple of the Vilna Gaon. And he writes as follows. What does this mean when we say, B'chala makom asher azkir, whenever I, God, will mention my name, I will come there? How is that to be understood? Explains the Nefesh HaChaim. V'lo od. And when a person studies Torah, he says, Eloki gam ba'osa ha'es, at that moment, Shehaadam osik b'Torah lamata. When a person in this world, a man or a woman, is studying Torah in our world, kol teva shemotzi mipiv. Every word that we utter from our mouths in the realm of Talmud Torah, hein hein hadvarim hayotzim kavayachol gam mipiv yizbarach ba'osa ha'es mamish. Says Reb Chaim Velazhner, at the same time that we are saying the words of Torah down here, God Himself is saying the same words up in heaven. God is listening along to us, but not only listening, He is participating in everything that we share, in all our words of Divrei Torah. Says the Nefesh HaChaim, God is an equal participant as well. And that's what it means. Kide'ashkechan beperakama de Gittin, we find in the first parak in Maseches Gittin, a very strange story there. The Gemara is trying to explain about Pilegesh Begiva, which is a story, very unfortunate story in Navi, very hard to understand exactly what took place. But there's a discussion about the details of the story in the Gemara. They want to know, was there something, there was a woman who was a concubine and a whole terrible thing happened as a result of that. And they're not sure when the Gemara describes the story, when the Navi describes the story, they're not sure, did the woman have something wrong with her? Was there just a bug on her? It's not clear exactly what the details were, but the Gemara has this disagreement about what took place with this Pilegesh. We don't really know. So, they're having this discussion, and one of the Amoraim in the Gemara, Rabbi Yasser, says what he thought, and Rabbi Yonasan says what he thought, and then, one fine afternoon, as they're having this discussion, somebody bumps into Eliyahu HaNavi. So I've never bumped into him, but I guess in the times of the Amoraim, this was a common occurrence, not so unusual. So he's walking down the street, coming out of the Beis Medrash, and he says, oh, Eliyahu HaNavi, it's so nice to meet you here. I'd like to know, can you tell me what is God doing right now? It's a strange question. So he asks him, Mai ka'avid kutshabrichu? So I could have answered, well, God is running the world. Maybe that's what he's busy with. And that's not what Eliyahu HaNavi responds to him. Eliyahu HaNavi says, oh, it just so happens to be Asik bePilegesh Begiva. God Himself is dealing with this discussion about Pilegesh Begiva, about the story from Navi and how to interpret it. So he turns to him and he says, Umayka Amar. So how does God interpret the Pasuk? You know, we're having a discussion, by the way, just coincidentally, we're having the same discussion here, and we weren't sure exactly what it meant. So I'm curious, what does God have to say about it? So he says, well, let me tell you. God Himself is saying, well, if Yasser in the Beis Medrash is saying this, and Rabbi Yonasan is interpreting that, and God Himself is considering both opinions, and He's having the discussion along with you. And that, says Rabbi Chaim Velazhner, is where we learn that when we utter words of Torah, it's not just that we're having our own experience down here, but God is actually participating along with us, and He's saying every word along with us. And that's what the Mishnah means, Bechal HaMakom, every place, Asher, Azkir es Shemi. It's not just that you will mention my name. It's that any time where I will mention my name and my Torah, I am an equal participant, God says. I am a part of everything that goes on in the realm of Talmud Torah. It's such a powerful insight when you think about it. We come to a shir and we think, oh, the speaker was good, the speaker was bad, he had something to say, didn't have something to say, did prepare, didn't prepare. Look what God says. God comes down and He says, I'm going to study along with you, and this is worthy of my time, and I have plenty of other good things to do. But Eliyahu HaNavi taught us that this is what God chooses to do at moments when Jewish people are learning Torah. He chooses to put everything else aside and to study along with us, and to say those words along with us as well. The Chafetz Chaim has a very beautiful commentary on the Chumash. Again, he didn't write it, but they collected from many of his writings. And here the Chafetz Chaim also gives us a little bit of a perspective of what it means to be blessed like we are, to have the engagements with Talmud Torah that we have. So let's see in number Hey where the Chafetz Chaim writes in his Sefer on Chumash. Kama mu'ushar chayiv adam lihios, how gratified a person needs to feel. V'kama shafar aleinu chelko ba'olam hazeh, how blessed we are with the lot, with the portion that we have in this world. Shednitna biyado hayecholas, that a person has the ability, lihidavik bo yizbarach kan ba'olam hazeh. Says the Chafetz Chaim, we are blessed that we have the ability to have a relationship and to connect with the Almighty in this world. Yachol ha'adam lios davik ba'Hashem, we can be connected to Him, velikro lo b'chol eish sheyirtze. You ever think about that? You have the ability to connect with Him at any moment that you choose. You know, I was just in Eretz Yisrael 2 weeks ago, Yom Yerushalayim, and President Trump was visiting. And there were so many people who were clamoring just to have a 30-second audience with Him. Either they had something that they wanted to share with Him, or they wanted to take a picture or a selfie or whatever it might be, but everyone was busy. For what? For the 30 seconds, He's not even going to give you anything. You're not going to make any impression on Him, and He's not interested in hearing what you have to say, and He doesn't need your picture. Says the Chafetz Chaim, do you understand what it means that we have the ability to call out to our God and to relate with Him? B'chol eis sheyirtze? Whenever a person wants, you don't wait on lines. You don't have to use connections. When we go to a tzaddik or a great tzidkanius when somebody is sick, and we ask them to be mispalel on our behalf, what is this, like we're using our connections? We can't get in? That's not what it means, it's a mistake. So some Rishonim explain what it means is, you go to a great person because you'll watch how that great person davens, you'll watch how that great person lives life, and then you'll be inspired to do something greater on your own, and that will be the schus for the person who is sick or for whatever situation you want to get yourself out of. That's one interpretation. Others say, no, that person might have a greater understanding of what God is, because after all, they're steeped in learning about God their whole lives, and therefore maybe we should assume that they have better ways of communicating messages more so than the rest of us. But it doesn't mean that we don't have the ability, says the Chafetz Chaim. B'chol eis sheyirtze, whenever a person chooses, whenever a person wants, you don't wait on any lines, there's no intermediaries. We don't believe that we need anything else. God is there for us, and He's willing to listen to every single one of us at any moment, says the Chafetz Chaim. Ki karav Hashem lechol karav, as we say in our Psukei Dezimra every day. Karav Hashem lechol karav, God is willing to be close to anyone who's willing to be close with Him. Ve'al zeh ne'emar, and on this we are told, Dirshu Hashem b'hi matzo. Make sure that you find God when He is present, when He is here. Kelomar ba'olam hazeh, that means in this world, while we still have the ability to connect with Him, Hu matzeh lakol, He's here, He's available to all of us. Why not take advantage? U'kumokein huftach lanu b'chol makom. Asher azkir ashemi avo elecho ve'rachticha. Hasn't God already promised us that whenever you study a word of Torah, not only when you daven, but when you learn Torah as well, I will come and participate. That's your way of connecting with Me. That's your way of having a relationship with Me. Isn't that a profound opportunity that we have? Zechus zu, says the Chafetz Chaim. It's a frightening comment, but listen carefully. Zechus zu, eina metzuya biyado shel adam. We only have this opportunity, this ability. Ela kol od shehu chai ba'olam hazeh. We only have this ability to connect with Him and to be close with Him and to develop that relationship while we are here. Al yidei kiyum ha-Torah v'ha-mitzvos, by learning His Torah and by understanding what the mitzvos that we are supposed to be performing are all about. Baram, however, says the Chafetz Chaim, however, kishehu niftar uba la'olam ha-emes, when a person is no longer in this world. So we think, oh, we're not here anymore, now we're closer to God. Says the Chafetz Chaim, now you're further away. Now you're further away. It's counterintuitive, but he says, you're not closer. On this world is where you have the ability to develop the relationship, to become closer with Him. When you're up there, you're going to be out in the not so close. Not so close. What do they call it? The upper deck. That's what I was looking for. Not everybody gets so close there. Here's the chance, he writes, and this is what it means. Adam the Amo Yulad, every individual was created in order to work hard and to make that relationship something meaningful. And here's the time to do it, he says. Kishu nifter ubala olam ha'emes. When a person is no longer on this earth, when a person is now up in heaven, he says, Mechitzos rabos mafridos beino lebein HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do you know how many walls are going to be between you and God? Do you know how many miles, hundreds of miles are going to be the distance between you and God? You're not going to be able to get close to Him there. Here's the chance, he writes. V'shuv einu yachol l'karev atzmo elav u'lehidabek bo yisbarach. You know, unfortunately, you have somebody who loses a spouse. And everybody always says, when that happens, they start kicking themselves. Oh, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have been closer. I wish I would have invested more. I shouldn't have been in the office that long. Why did I do this? We start regretting everything. Because once they're no longer here, Their relationship is stagnant. It is where it is. You can't develop it any further. Whatever you got is what you got. And whatever meaningful connection you had with that person is going to stay that way. And there's nothing more that can be developed. And says the Chafetz Chaim, that's what it means to be a human being on this earth. Here's the time to make the relationship with God, because afterward, you cannot develop it any further. And mechitzos rabos mafridos. There are so many walls that will stand in our way, unfortunately, from touching God, from being close with Him, from understanding what He's all about. Here's the chance to understand it. Here is our opportunity that God gives us to take full advantage of what it means to be close with Him. However, he writes, there is going to be one opportunity when we get up to heaven, but that's the opportunity we're all going to run away from. Chafetz Chaim writes a very frightening comment. Everyone's going to be called before the heavenly tribunal. You're going to be in very close proximity to God when He starts reviewing every action of life. But that's the time you're going to want to run away from Him. Why wait, says the Chafetz Chaim? Don't we understand what the Mishnah says, B'chal makom asher azkir es shemi? Every time a human being utters a word of Torah or invests in understanding what the Torah and mitzvahs are all about, says the Chafetz Chaim, we are investing in our relationship with Him. We are making it more profound, more deep, more meaningful. And that is something that can only happen while we have the opportunity to be alive on this world. And it's something we must take advantage of. And this is what Shavuos is all about. This is what Zman Matan Torasenu was made for us to appreciate. And as we step away, I don't know how many people think about it. I have a neighbor who is unaffiliated. And this neighbor stopped us. We have a very wonderful relationship. We have her over all the time. We have this family over all the time. They came to us for Pesach. They came to us for Sukkot. And they come quite often. And they actually bring us flowers for Shabbos very often. It's a really great thing. And I would actually advise those of you, I'm sorry, I shouldn't really be giving advice, but I've seen that it's something very meaningful for us and for them, that if you have neighbors who are not affiliated and who might not have an appreciation or understanding for what it is that we do, it's been a very beautiful experience for us to have them over and to have a wonderful relationship with them, and for them to see what it is that we do and to see that we are very moderate people and that we have understanding of others, and that we care about them and that they care about us. I think it's something to give time and thought and effort in investing in our community and in other communities as well. But this neighbor stops me on the street on Shavuos and says to me, Rabbi, don't worry. I went out, I bought my cheesecake before Shavuos. I made sure to get different flavors. I made sure to get the one that I like. And she was so proud of what it is that she did. And I was thinking to myself, here you are. You stop me while you're driving your car to tell me on Shavuos about the cheesecake that you bought. Again, it's something, it's great, but I was thinking to myself, so we don't drive cars on Shavuos. She unfortunately does, she doesn't understand, she doesn't know. And I was more than happy to have this wonderful conversation with her, but I was thinking to myself, so we're going to go and laugh at such a person who doesn't understand what Shavuos is? How many of us understand what Shavuos is? So we don't drive the car. How many of us walked away from Shavuos with anything more than just a cheesecake also? I was thinking about it. She made me think. How many people walked away from Shavuos with anything more than a piece of cheesecake and a few extra pounds? Zman Matan Torasenu. How many people took advantage of the fact that this is the annual celebration of what Torah actually means to us? What does the Torah mean to me? What do I invest for Torah? What do I give up in order that I should be able to study Torah and have a better and deeper understanding of what God wants from me in this world while He blesses me with life? How many people walked away from the experience we had last week and actually gave a moment of thought to this? How many people said, well, what am I doing this summer? What am I doing this coming year to show the Ribono Shel'olam, to show God that I actually care about having this relationship with you? I don't just eat the cheesecake. It's not just about that. There's so much more to the religion than just the ritual. There's the feeling, there's the thought. What does all of this mean to me? How much am I investing? Where do I want to be in my relationship with God? What do I want Him to be thinking about me? The Beis HaLevi writes a very fascinating comment. He says, you know, when you have a wedding, you can't just pull a boy or a girl off the street and say, oh, let's get married tonight. Both sides have to have certain understandings about the commitment that's about to be made. And I have to be able to commit to you, and you have to be able to commit to me. It's not going to go one way. That's never going to last. Says the Beis HaLevi, you ever thought about the fact that we have twice a year a celebration of the Torah and of our relationship with God, and we dance around on Simchas Torah and everyone's all excited and we're giving out candy and everyone's happy and it's great and it's beautiful. And then we have Shavuos again and everyone's all excited and we're staying up all night and we're learning and we're having Shiurim and everyone's participating and it's very nice. That's our side. You ever thought about whether the other side actually has an interest in being a part of our lives? Does God really want to be involved in this commitment with us? Are we the kinds of people that really make Him proud? Do we actually take seriously that which He asks us to do? Do we ever invest anything in the relationship for Him? So obviously, yes, we do mitzvahs, we do certain things, but is that enough? You have to be very deeply invested in order to marry someone, in order to stay in that commitment forever. Eternity is a long time. And if we want, says the Beis HaLevi, that God should be eternally connected with us, if we want that He should have an investment in our relationship, we have to make sure that He's comfortable with our side of the deal. We have to make sure He's comfortable in our homes. We have to make sure that He is going to find a space that is one which will make Him proud. Otherwise, He walks away and He says, this is not a marriage. You would never do such a thing in your world. You would never invest of yourself if the other side was not committed at all. And that, says the Beis HaLevi, is what Chag HaShavuos is all about. And I thought, when this person stopped me in the street, I said, how beautiful it is that she has an understanding of something what Shavuos is. She's connected in some way. So to her, it means the cheesecake. But you know what? She invested something in the Yom Tov. And I walked away thinking, did Shavuos mean anything to so many of us? Anything more than just that piece of cheesecake either? Let's never laugh at someone who has that kind of perspective, who's driving their car and talking about the investment that they made in the cheesecakes. Because I'm not sure that so many of us are so far off from that. And everyone at their own level and everyone at their own understanding. But Talmud Torah is supposed to be the central focus of our lives. Understanding what God wants from us is what we're here for. Adam la'amal yulad. Man is created to work hard and it's not easy. And it never comes easy to anyone, but that's what the job is all about. And says the Mesilas Yesharim, as we mentioned before, a person should always feel that their perspective should always be one of, I'm ready to go out to battle, I'm ready to go out to war, I'm here to be God's messenger, and I'm proud to be God's messenger. And I'm happy to have this distinction of being the one that God chose to go out and do His messages and promote His values to the world. There's a pasuk in Mishle which tells us, Holech el chachamim yechkam. Pasuk says, someone who goes to a chacham, someone who goes to a smart person will become smart. Now, what does that mean? Just by osmosis, you become smart? I can spend all day with Einstein. I won't become a scientist. It's not going to happen. So what does it mean? So the Medrash picks up on this pasuk and tells us a number vav as follows. Holech el chachamim yechkam. Mashal lemi shenichnas dechanuso shalbosa. This is on the second side of the sheet. This is comparable to someone who enters into a chanus shalbosam, into a perfume shop. Even if I just walk around, I peruse the store and I spray a few things on a piece of cardboard and I want to try some things out and see how they smell. And I ultimately walk out of the store and I don't buy anything, but I've been transformed. I've gone through some kind of transformation. I smell differently when I walk out of that store than when I walked in. Hu yotze v'reicho v'reach begada mivusamim. My clothing smells good. My body smells different. Ve'ein reicho zaz mimenu kol hayom. That's an odor, that's a scent that's going to be there the entire day. U'mashala echad, and in the opposite direction, it's the same as a person who walks into a chanus shel bursiki, to a store of a blacksmith, and they're doing all kinds of dirty work there. Afal pi she'enu mocher lo ve'enu lokeach mimenu. You walk into the auto repair shop and you're not really doing anything and they didn't ask you to help them, but you always walk out of there, your hands are black from something. What did I do? I didn't change a tire, I didn't do anything, I didn't fix any screws. Somehow you walk through a place like that, your hands get dirty. Hu yotze v'reicho v'reach begadav meluchlachim ve'en reach begadav zaz mimenu kol hayom. And that's something that sticks with you for a few hours, even after you've moved out of that experience. Says the Medrash, that's what it means, Holech el chachamim yechkam. When we have the opportunity to expose ourselves to the study of Torah, to the chachmas haTorah, to understand what it means to live lives that we are living, when we have that opportunity, we should realize that it's a complete metamorphosis. It's such an incredible and uplifting transformation. It's like walking into the store that has perfume in it. You're not going to walk out the same. You came to a shir this morning, you're not the same as you were before you came. You go and you daven once on a Shabbos or during the week, whenever you want, you connect with God. You are not the same as you were before you did that. And appreciate that, says the Medrash. Understand what it means. That yes, this is one area of life where it does happen by osmosis. It happens by itself. Simply by being connected. Simply by exposing ourselves to this opportunity, to this incredible experience, that's enough to have the feeling of a completely transformative experience. That's what we're availed the opportunity every day of life. And it's such a blessing, and it's such a gift. And this is the reason why we daven every morning, V'harivna Hashem Elokeinu, make it sweet for us, make us understand, make us appreciate. What is it that we're doing? It's hard work. And we want to have an appreciation for what it is that we're involved in, for that which we engage ourselves with. It doesn't happen by itself. And it's something that we ask God to assist us in having an appreciation and developing what it means to have a full sense, a full context of what it is that we do as we serve Him, as we have our relationship continues to develop with Him. We know one of the most important aspects of Talmud Torah is the fact that a person needs to have simcha when they learn Torah. And that's something that we ask in our bracha, as we just said, V'harivna Hashem Elokeinu. We ask that God should give us simcha. Now there's a major discussion about whether or not women should make a bracha of Birchas HaTorah. So the Achronim, again, the Shulchan Aruch says women have to make a Birchas HaTorah in the morning. The question is why? It's not really clear. But some Achronim say, you know why? Because the same way any person who consumes any item in this world or has benefit or pleasure from something needs to recite a bracha, how can you not recite a bracha before you learn Torah? How can a woman, yes, she might be obligated, she might not be obligated, it's not the point, but a woman who takes out time to study Torah, a woman who takes out time to connect herself with God, that is the most exalted experience. That's something that should make a person so happy. How can you not make a Birchas HaTorah? It's like a Birchas HaNen, it's like a Shahakol Niyeh B'dvaro. It's like any other bracha that we recite before deriving pleasure from anything that we do. How can we not make a bracha? There's a comment made by Reb Chaim Kanievsky. It's a beautiful comment. He says, the pasuk says, "Hoy kol tzameh lechula mayim." He or she who is thirsty should go and take water. So the Gemara says in Tainus Daf Zayin, "Ein mayim ala Torah." That's a reference to Torah. Anyone who's thirsty, go ahead and take advantage. The Torah is out there for you. So says the Reb Chaim Kanievsky, of all the different descriptions we could give, we say the Torah is like water. There's nothing else that you can say. The Torah is like something that's a little more exciting than water. What does it mean? Hoy kol tzameh lechula mayim. Anyone who's thirsty, anyone who wants some spirituality in life should go ahead and take advantage of the Torah. Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, this is perhaps based on a psak that the Shulchan Aruch gives in Hilchos Brachos. Shulchan Aruch writes very surprisingly in Siman Reish Ches that a person who drinks water does not always recite a bracha when drinking the water. The only time you recite a bracha when drinking water, says the Gemara, is if a person is shosem mayim litzamo. The only time you make a bracha is when you drink water because you are thirsty. But if a person just happens to walk by and they see a cup of water, they're not thirsty at all, they don't make a bracha on that. As opposed to any other beverage, when you have, let's say, a can of soda, even if you're not thirsty but you drink it, you have some sort of pleasure. So therefore we assume a bracha is always recited on other things. But water is pretty bland. And the only time you recite a bracha on water is where you're thirsty and you actually drink it because of your thirst. So take, for example, some people need to drink water when they take pills. You're not drinking because you're thirsty, you're drinking just to get it down. That's the same as drinking mouthwash. So therefore we assume, again, not with regard to Yom Kippur, don't try it at home, but we assume that that's not drinking water, litzimaon, you're not drinking it because you're thirsty. And therefore we assume, since there's no hana, since there's no pleasure, there's no benefit in what it is that you're doing, therefore we assume a bracha is not recited. Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, that's what Torah is all about. If you don't drink the mayim litzama, if you don't drink the Torah because you are thirsty, because you're interested, because you're invested, because you want it so much, and there's nothing else in life that you would want more than that, that's not a complete learning of Torah. And that's what some Achronim write, why a Birchas HaTorah must be made every day of our lives, because this is the same as a bracha that needs to be recited on anything else that we have pleasure from. This is the greatest pleasure in the world. To connect with God and to have the opportunity to be in a very powerful relationship with Him, there's nothing that can top that. And that's what we mean, Hoy kol tzameh lechula mayim. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh writes in his commentary on Chumash, he says that it's so obvious that every time the Jewish people went to some kind of milestone, every time they reached some kind of meaningful moment, they sang Shira. So for example, they came out of Mitzrayim, they sang Shira. They had the Be'er, so they have Shira's Habe'er, they have all kinds of things during their experiences in the Midbar and during their experience in Mitzrayim, where they sing Shira. And he says, wouldn't it make a lot of sense that the most important time for them to sing Shira should have been when? Mount Torah. What could be better than that? How come the Jewish people, nobody, it didn't dawn on anybody, maybe we should sing Shira, maybe we should sing now? This is a very pivotal moment of the Jewish people. Nobody bothered to thank God or to sing out loud to Him and say, thank You, we appreciate the gift that You just gave us. We cannot believe that we are the ones who are being chosen above everyone else. Why didn't they sing Shira? Says the Or HaChaim, it's very simple. Because the Torah itself is the Shira. You don't sing a song on a song. The Torah itself is the harmony of our lives. The Torah itself is what's supposed to give us the greatest satisfaction and the greatest sense of accomplishment in life. And therefore, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, it would not have made sense to compose a new Shira, a new song, at the time that they accepted the Torah. Living the life of Torah is the greatest music a person can ever hear. And that, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, is the reason why we do not have this experience of singing Shira on the occasion of accepting the Torah. So, we find that Talmud Torah needs to be done b'simcha, and there's so much to talk about that, and I've said a lot of it before, but there is one other aspect where we find that simcha is a very important element of the mitzvah that we do, and that is in Maseches Brachos Daf Lamed Aleph, where you have on the last entry on the source sheet, and then we're going to end, the Gemara tells us, Tanu Rabbanan, Ein Omdim Lehispalel, a person is not allowed to daven lo mitoch atzvus, you're not allowed to be sad when you daven, v'lo mitoch atzlus, and a person cannot be lazy, v'lo mitoch schok, v'lo mitoch sicha, v'lo mitoch kalas rosh, person has to be serious when they daven. You know, sometimes you walk into shul and people have a few minutes till davening starts and they're schmoozing with each other, says the Gemara. No. Yes, you're right, davening has not yet begun, but what kind of way is that to enter into the davening? Elamitov, says the Gemara. What is supposed to be the mindset? Simcha shel mitzvah. Before a person davens, one is supposed to walk into the tefillah and say, I am so excited about the fact that I'm about to daven. And you wonder, the two places that we have this experience of simcha, that we need to have this mandate of being excited and being happy is, number one, when we study Torah, number two, when we daven every day. Why those specifically? What about when I light Shabbos candles for me? Maybe that's a very meaningful experience. Why am I not jumping off the roof every time? I'm sorry, that's not a good idea, but why am I not very excited about the fact that I'm about to perform a mitzvah? Whenever I do a mitzvah, what is special and unique about davening every day and about the experience, the opportunity of Talmud Torah? What is so different about them? And I think the answer lies in the following. Rav Soloveitchik, as my father writes in one of his svarim, Rav Soloveitchik developed the following theme. He said, you'll notice, we have a mitzvah every Shabbos to be mechabed as HaShabbos. We have a mitzvah every Yom Tov to have Simchas Yom Tov. As Simchas Yom Tov requires us to eat basar and to eat meat and to drink wine and to do all kinds of things. In fact, the Gemara says that a husband has an obligation to buy his wife new clothing because that's what will give her Simchas Yom Tov. Write that one down, put it in the bank. And the Gemara says Simchas Yom Tov is very important. And he pointed out, why do we not have a concept of Simchas Shabbos? Shabbos is every week. Why do we not have an obligation to be b'simcha on Shabbos? Why only on Yom Tov? Explainer of Soloveitchik, because we have the feelings of joy, the feelings of simcha, whenever we are in the presence of the Shechina. Whenever we find ourselves in the close confines of the Ribono Shel Olam, that is automatically a reason to be excited, a reason to be happy. And therefore, said Rav Soloveitchik, Yom Tov is our opportunity. Usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. Yom Tov, the Pasuk says, is our obligation to go to God's corners, to God's place, to God's edifice, and to be misameach with Him. Yom Tov is the time that we say, we are going to visit you, and therefore we need to have this aspect, this element of Simchas Yom Tov, because we are in the close proximity of God on Yom Tov. However, Shabbos, you'll notice we have Kabbalah Shabbos, we don't have Kabbalah Yom Tov. You ever thought about that? Why don't we usher in Yom Tov the same way we usher in Shabbos? Wouldn't it make sense? Said Rav Soloveitchik, the reason why is because on Shabbos, God comes to visit us. On Yom Tov, we have the opportunity to go and visit God. And therefore, Rav Soloveitchik said, when you have the opportunity to be in the close proximity of God, when you're visiting His palace on Yom Tov, there's nothing more exciting than that. There's nothing more exhilarating than an experience of that nature. And therefore, we have a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. And that's something we are obligated to do because, Hod v'hada lefanav, the Pasuk says, whenever you're in the close proximity of God, Oz v'chedva bimkamo. You're supposed to be in an overjoyous state over the fact that God has given you the opportunity to be close with Him. And I was thinking about that comment, and I thought maybe that's why, when it comes to Talmud Torah specifically, and when it comes to tefillah, those are the two aspects where we find specifically that the Gemara writes a person needs to go out of their way and have an attitude of simcha when performing those particular mitzvahs. When a person davens, we all know, that is our opportunity to connect with God. That is our opportunity to develop our relationship with Him, to communicate with Him, that He communicates with us as well. He listens to us. And perhaps that's why we have the obligation to go into tefillah mitoch simcha shel mitzvah, to appreciate what it is that I'm doing at this moment in my life. There's no greater opportunity I can have than doing just this. That's number one. And secondly, we have the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. As we said before, Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes, and so many others, V'chol makom asher azkir es shemi, whenever my name is mentioned, I am the one who's mentioning my name as well, because I am there. My Shechina is present whenever a person makes time to study Torah properly. And therefore, perhaps, that is the reason why we have an obligation to be misameach every time we learn Torah, because God is actually in the room. God is actually participating. God is actually a part of everything that we do, not only when we daven, but also when we learn Torah, when we study and appreciate what His mitzvahs are all about. And this is something that we should think about when we come and we learn Torah and we invest and we think about what the Torah means to us. Don't ever forget the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam takes out of His kabayachal, out of His busy schedule, and He says, this is something worth my time. This is something I want to invest in as well. I'm going to learn along with you the same thing that you're learning together with each other, because that is the most important aspect of our lives. It's what we're here to do. It's what the Chafetz Chaim wrote, we only have the opportunity to do in this world. And once we are no longer here, mechitzos rabos mafridos, unfortunately we'll meet the reality that there are miles in between ourselves and the Ribbono Shel Olam, and here is the time to take advantage. Here is the time to develop that relationship and make it as meaningful as possible. So I wish everyone